This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Oklahoma Republican Senator Jim Inhofe. We want to get his thoughts on a couple of critical economic debates happening up on Capitol Hill, including the fate of the Bush tax cuts, as well as the big fight within the Republican Party over earmark reform. And Senator, it's great to have you with us, and let me have you comment, first of all, on the news from Wednesday where Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell basically saying that all Senate Republicans are ready to filibuster anything other than what he considers the most critical debates over spending cuts and the full extension of the Bush income tax cuts. What do you make of that strategy?
No, I think it's a good strategy because what they're trying to do in this lame duck session, I think you'll remember, and our listeners will remember, that last year they went all the way up to Christmas Eve, and that just applied pressure on people to pass things that shouldn't be passed. The START Treaty is a good example. They want to hold hostage everything else for the START Treaty, which is a flawed treaty we'll probably talk about in a minute, and other things that should not be passed. For one thing, the Senate Armed Services Committee would have the Defense Authorization Bill. Well, they put in, right down party lines, the Democrats put in two provisions. One is to open up military hospitals for abortions, publicly funded, and the second one is to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Let me kind of elaborate a little bit on that, because that's one of my major issues. Way back during the Clinton administration, the issue of gays in the military came up, and the solution, I didn't think it was going to work, but it did, and that is that let someone come in, if they are gay, as long as they don't tell it, nobody knows it, and they don't flaunt it, they don't try to use the military for a forum for a liberal agenda, then they can go ahead and serve. Now, that's actually worked well for, 14 or 15 years now. But the gay lobby is very strong in Washington, and they have, I think, probably had a commitment from President Obama that he would repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Well, he knows after what's happened in the in November the 2nd that he's not going to have the votes to do that once the newly elected people get in. So he's going to try to get it done in some manner, and we don't know yet what that will be. So I think that, to answer your question, the policy is good. There are only two things that we need to do. One is you have to extend government. You can do that with the continuing resolution, and the other thing is to get the tax provisions in, period. That's all. But they're going to hold us hostage for, I don't know, days, maybe weeks on end, up until Christmas Eve. That happened last year.
One of the big issues, of course, is what to do with the soon-to-expire Bush tax cuts. We've now hit December. It's less than a month now before all these would go back to 2001 levels, not just income taxes, but estate taxes, dividend taxes, cap gains. There's the alternative minimum tax, which needs attention as well.
Yeah. Marriage penalty.
Marriage penalty, certainly. Yesterday on the Hardball program, this is what Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio said. He says that he's ready, as well as many other Democrats, to go to the mat when it comes to the tax breaks for the wealthiest of Americans. And here's what he says would actually improve the economy.
There's no real history illustrating that these tax cuts for the rich result in jobs. It's extending unemployment benefits that creates economic activity, that creates jobs, not giving a millionaire an extra $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 in tax cuts that they likely won't spend because they're already buying what they're going to buy anyway.
Your reaction, sir?
Well, my reaction to that is Sherrod Brown better look and see what happened in Ohio on November 2nd, because he's going to come up in 2012, and that's not what the people in Ohio believe. He's wrong, dead wrong on that, because the ones that would be receiving the tax increase are going to be the businesses. The businesses, small businesses, almost any business would be in that category. And they're the ones that provide the jobs in America. It's just unbelievable to me that people could even suggest a tax increase at this time when our unemployment has not dropped at all from the time that this president took office.
Let's move on to the earmark issue now. And I know you're a very vocal participant in this debate and very much at odds with your fellow Republican senator from Oklahoma, Senator Coburn. Explain for our listeners, and I know you've done this before, why you believe that a flat-out ban on earmarks is the wrong way to go.
Well, it's Because, first of all, the Constitution is very clear that that's what we're supposed to be doing here. And if we don't do it, that means the president will do it. Why do you think that President Obama is so strongly behind banning earmarks? The reason is when they put their budget out and we tried to change his budget, they would call that an earmark. And therefore, we'd have to, for example, in the defense budget, take his opinion on how to defend America instead of me and those of us serving on the Armed Services Committee. So all of the bureaucracy, the unelected bureaucracy, he's very strong behind this. And let me just throw out one thing. This is a complicated subject. I beg anyone who is listening to us right now, who's on the other side and on the politically correct side of banning earmarks, look up my website, Greg. It is inhofe.senate.gov. Give them that opportunity and let them listen to the speech that I made 40 minutes on Monday night. I go into all this detail. One last thing, and I only mention this. The two authors of this bill were Senator McCain and Senator Coburn. I love them both and all that. However, one of the objections I have is talking about earmarks. It hides and disguises or deflects the attention from the real problem. That is the big spending. Let's go back to 2008. In 2008, two of the largest bills passed that year, discretionary bills, were the $700 billion bailout and the $50 billion PEPFAR bill. That's a bill that sends $50 billion to foreign countries for control of diseases. Now, that's $750 billion. Both McCain and Tom Coburn voted for both of those. Now, that year, OMB stated that the total number of earmarks amounted to $15 billion. You do your math. Their vote for that bill for $750 billion is 50 times greater than every earmark of 2008. People have to understand that. This doesn't reduce spending. This gives cover to people who are big spenders. And I know it's unpopular to say that. I would say this, though. If they'll go to my website, I'll explain that in detail. And I look at this Constitution. I take my oath of office, and I'm not going to break that oath.
A real quick follow-up before we get to the START Treaty as our final subject. In terms of transparency, is there any way to adjust the system?
Yes. Greg, it's very important, and I'd be glad on my website and on the floor of the Senate. It's again, this is in my speech. I took the recommendations of all eight of the conservative groups on how to put transparency in and stop this the useless types of earmarks that everyone's offended by. But I did one step further. I also went after the Obama bureaucratic earmarks. You might remember when Sean Hannity talked about the 102 most egregious earmarks, and they were egregious. Not one of those was a congressional earmark. They were all bureaucratic earmarks. So we need to go after that. That's where the main abuse is today.
That's Oklahoma Republican Senator Jim Inhofe. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.